But first of all, I welcome our own Hans Rosling. He's the professor of global health. He's also a member of this expert group. He calls himself an edutainer and a retired man. Well, I don't know. Hans Rosling, welcome up. Give him an applause.
Yes, we have made a preparatory study on trying to document the trends. It's Mats Horsman at EBBA which have been leading this work, and I've tried to assist. We are basing it largely on intensive work by MAPSEC, a consultancy firm. And we thought we would have reached further. It was more difficult than we thought. We were quite amazed how difficult it was to show over the last 20 years what has happened to the multilateral aid. And even to understand what is multilateral aid and what is not multilateral aid. Is European Union multilateral aid? Is basket funding in countries multilateral aid? It's really up for a definition. But first, many of you are concerned with our acronym, aren't you? EBBA, especially in English. So I just want to explain for you what EBBA is and why I'm so satisfied with it. It's the most common cassava porridge made in Nigeria, EBBA. It's about 40 to 60 million people that will eat EBBA today. That will help you to remember this acronym, I think. Aid taxonomy, OECD are doing a very great job, but I think many of us do not understand the consequences of the classification. What does it mean? What has ended up under what category? So we have started to try to do this. And it actually turns out that it's the OECD DAC working party on statistics that decide what counts in international statistics. I find it especially interesting that it's not called working group, but working party. And it's to me a little unclear how the decisions are made. On what basis? Is it political decisions in the end? Is it technical decision? What is it really that defines what you count as aid? Bilateral aid, which I would like to call unilateral. I've never understood why it's bilateral. It's one country giving it on their decision to someone else. Because if multilateral is an organization composed by several countries, the alternative is not two countries giving to each other. It's a unilateral. So we are handling a lot of terms that have started as a slang and then become established and then become statistics. And you have to accept it, but it's good intellectual to think about it. It's from one government or one official agency. Multilateral is via UN or international organizations or via other forms of long or short-term organizations that pool money together and then act in one way on behalf of many funding governments. It's interesting that the core contribution to the United Nations that started long before aid was invented. I mean, we provide money to FAO to fight the Colorado beetle that threatens the potatoes in Sweden. Every summer I go with my grandkids on the southern coast of Sweden to see if we find Colorado beetles, and we go to FAO webpage and look at them. We have the definition of what is diabetes and what is not diabetes is WHO, and it's a core contribution from our Ministry of Health and Social Welfare. But then that money paid by the sectorial ministries, a part of it is cut off and is counted as aid. So what is the proportion? How is that decision made? So even the little core budget that the World Health Organization have, which is about 15% of its total turnover, is then paid by aid to its absolute majority. So we should be aware that the rich countries contribute perhaps only 4 to 5% of the WHO budget from their real ministries of health. And then we have, of course, the non-core contribution, earmarked money that comes in many forms. We didn't manage to finish this. We realized that this is a continuous work in progress also to follow up the different forms, because what was a spontaneous good or bad idea, if it was good, it will then emerge as a new form of multilateral aid. And then we have the non-aid that counts as aid. In Sweden, the very correct term is avräkning. There is a budget frame for aid from which an avräkning, a discount, is made. And then the remaining is the aid. And I think it's important to be intellectually crystal clear about that. What is avräknat, discounted, goes to very worthy causes. I have no problem with the causes. It's just what you call it I have problem with intellectually. So you have this green, and you have this blue, and you have this yellow. And to be very clear, I took my grandkids Duplo here and see that this is in Sweden what is others. This is the unilateral or bilateral, and this is the multilateral. More or less these proportions. If you go directly to the DAC classification, you will find other proportions. And also our consultant ended up putting a large part of this as bilateral aid. Because most of this, which is about 9 million Swedish crown, more than $1 billion, about 4 billion, this is receiving refugees in Sweden. And it's the fastest growing part of the aid frame. But it's not aid, but it's a very worthy course. I have no problem paying it from my tax. I really like it to be increased, but I don't want it to be under this heading, intellectually. But here it is. So where should we put this? Should we take this away and then count this percentage of multilateral as a percentage of the remaining, or a percentage of this included? And of course, the reason why Sweden want to have this here is that this makes up 1% of the GDP. And then also we have learned during this year that even the salary of the minister comes from inside there. And that is sort of shocking. It's really not. If you are intellectually cool, it's not so shocking. The minister really works with development aid 80 hours a week. So what's the problem? This very expert group is also paid from this one. So it's just that as long as you know what it is, and we have no other task here in the expert group than knowing and explaining and finding out what it is, not to discuss it so much. So this is where we are, more or less how it looks like. I've also been fascinated by the word faked. Faked, for those of you who are foreigner, is a word that was used by my grandmother when something was not salongs, faked. You couldn't be dressed like that when you went to visit a neighbor. And then I didn't hear it for 40 years of my life until it turned up again. And if you search on faked, you only get 180 results on the whole of the internet. And two of the first three are duck faked. And you can even see that the government here used it, duck faked. This means that it's, if you are allowed to put it into these bricks, then it's duck faked. And I think it really shows the meticulous thinking that goes into putting it here and to try to fit it with the statistics. And it's even interesting that when I go to the Swedish Academy, in our dictionary of the Swedish language, it doesn't exist there. It should be somewhere between Fairhus and Fair Kreatur, but it's not there, I discovered last night. So we are dealing with a word that is not slang, but it's so rare. And I think this is my major contribution today, is to see how vague it is, how you classify it. You know? What we have seen here, when our consultants did as good as they could, we could see some clear trend. This is the Swedish multilateral, but also the multi-B. Because if I would be true, I could take these ones away and put them, I think this is what I should put there. This is the CEDA column. But lots of the money that ends up with the World Bank, with the UN organization, goes out this channel, and then either goes back centrally to UN or go on country level over to the World Bank office, and it's then implemented. And there are various forms for this. So that's why if you look at the DAC statistic, you will find this higher than this, because this often counts as bilateral aid. But I think it's the implementing organization that should be honored. And it may be wrong where we are. We will see then more clearly and discuss this. It humbles you when you try to put this together. It humbles you. And you can see in Sweden, the United Nations is quite big. Regional banks or the development banks, others is that. The embarrassing thing is that we have a question mark here. We couldn't go back longer here. The account system in the Swedish bookkeeping didn't allow us. It's really cumbersome to get this together. I would have shown you OpenAid, the website where you can see the Swedish aid. But this major conference center, kept by the Swedish government, doesn't have internet access. And this is perhaps one of the reasons why OpenAid is that it's sort of the Swedish budget is kept so well. So this competition from the internet is not deemed very important. And if I compare it here, our consultants compare to Norway, Netherlands, Sweden, and UK. And what you see clearly then is that Norway is not a member of the European Union. That's the first thing you see. So they give much more to the United Nations. Their money goes to the United Nations. Otherwise, it's surprisingly how similar the Netherlands, UK, and Sweden are. UK less to UN, more to the World Bank. The Netherlands more to UN, but growing amounts to the World Bank. And the trends here was quite surprising to me. I think many of this is payments from year to year, and if you should analyze them, you would have to have a three-year average, a moving three-year average to look on, rather than the jumpiness from year to year. It's scary when one thinks from the perspective of the receiver that it jumps so much. It must be very difficult running organization, but that you would have to go into detail. We were not able to get exactly how much Sweden paid to each UN organization per year over the last 10 years. That was not possible to do within a one-month period. That requires more time. And this is how this is spent. It's also quite interesting, specific program, basket fund projects and others. It's relatively similar. Sweden, like basket funds, Netherlands hates them, but otherwise it's quite similar. So there's a general pattern that is quite similar across countries. And it would be more interesting to see the long-term trend. So in short, we do not know so well how the macro trends is in our age. We are not able to follow them in detail over more than 5-year periods. Do we then know what impact it has? Well, we neither know that. I will give you two examples which are core information. This is Gapminder who have asked the Swedish public through a web panel what they knew about it. And we asked in the last 20 years what has happened to the percent living in extreme poverty. And this is the correct answer. It has been halved in the world. And how many percent of the one-year-olds in the world are vaccinated against measles and other life-threatening disease, and it's 8 out of 10. And the Swedish answers are like this. That was not too bad, 23% correct. Here it was catastrophic. Only 8% know it. And in Norway, it was the same. United States, it was the same. In Britain, it was the same. This is a core activity of development aid, and the public are not even close to knowing what is happening. And we don't know how the money flow to vaccinate the kids. Too much debate, too little knowledge. That's my conclusion. Now, the good news. Sweden are better than Norway. The Swedes need that, the morning like this. Is it the Johan Norberg effect? I don't know. Perhaps it is. They're small. In the United States of America, it was 5% who knew that it was halved. That is, in summary, what we have done. We have a great challenge to go this. We will continue. to work with this in the group and try to make a more detailed coordinate with OpenAid so that we really can see these flows descriptively, what is really happening. We have to be aware that in the debate, we neither know how money is flowing nor what they may achieve. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Hans. It's sort of scary for the public and the taxpayers that we don't even know how much and where to, and that we don't know the effect either. So you have a lot of work to do, as you say.